The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous, as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons, and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days, that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." The title of the message this morning is this, The Problem with Boys. The Problem with Boys. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, I love you. And Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for our church. And Lord, while directly this may not apply to everyone, I do believe that biblical principle applies to everyone. And I think there's something each person can glean from the truth that's found in your word. Father, I pray that we will respond to it. I pray that you'd empty me of myself and fill me with your spirit. God, as I pray so often, if there's someone in this room that does not know that if they died, that they'd go to heaven. They sang that song, Thank You, Lord, a few minutes ago. But Lord, they've never experienced you saving their soul. I pray that they'd put their faith and trust in Jesus today and in Him alone. I ask you to bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible on parenting is Proverbs 22:6. Train up the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But a few months ago, I was sitting in a bank, and I was waiting to talk to a teller. And I was sitting there, and this lady in front of me, she's up there talking to the teller. And both women were talking so loudly I didn't need to eavesdrop. You ever been in one of those conversations, all right? They're just talking like there's nobody else in the world in that room. Their subject was boys. And this woman was going on and on about her sons and the problems she had with them. And she began to list some of the problems with boys. They won't sit still. They're easily distracted. He's slow in some areas. He has mood swings. He's wild. I hear people say that about boys all the time. Some of you have grandkids, you know what I'm talking about. They are. They're rambunctious. That's a good thing, by the way. In the right sense. They get angry easily. They talk too much. He's a bully. He's selfish. He's lazy. He wants to fight and wrestle with his brother. Most people want boys to sit down and be quiet. And there certainly is a time for that, by the way. They ought to learn how to sit and listen and sit in church and sit up straight and look at the preacher. They ought to learn how to do those things. That's a good thing. And in school, they ought to do that as well. Sit up there and look at their teacher. I kind of help with one of the things for Cedar Crest here, just a kids program on Tuesday mornings. And I'll say, you know what? If I ever have a problem with anybody, it's usually not the girls. It's usually with the boys. And you know what? But you know what? On the other hand, I've observed that what people want their boys to do is to go in the complete opposite direction of what they are, resulting in unconfident, timid, domesticated, girly, and docile boys. So what's the problem with boys? Well, it's not a one-size-fits-all, but here are a few hallmarks. All right, boys are unguided. there's a shortage of male role models in their life. 1 in 4 boys are raised by a single mom. 76% of teachers are female, and there's nothing wrong with that. And even in many churches, boys will go from the cradle to graduation without having one male teacher. Is it any wonder that most boys have a favorite coach? You want to know the main reason for that? It's the, for a lot of boys, it's the only man that's ever taken time to invest in them.
Amen.
Boys are unguided. I want to say number two, boys, by way of introduction, boys are ungrounded. Generational values and norms have faded in our society. 56% of Americans no longer believe that God and the Bible are the means of determining morality and truth. John Adams said, our government was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So as our world changes, as our society, as we lose those traditional American values, you know, for most people, right, I understand why people are concerned about Christmas overtaking Thanksgiving, because for a lot of people, Thanksgiving is just a day where we go, and if you call it Turkey Day, I'm not getting on you. But I don't know why. When people say that to me in the store, they say, Happy Turkey Day. I say, yes, Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. And when they say Happy Holidays, I say, Merry Christmas, all right? I think we need a little bit of that old-fashioned values. I think they're a good thing. Recently, I saw a survey that declared only 11%, think about this, only 11% of churchgoers have a biblical worldview. Now, if anybody ought to have a biblical worldview, it ought to be people that go to church, wouldn't you agree? This leaves boys without a moral compass. Without a dominant spiritual male influence in their life, boys' views on marriage, on family, on women, on morality, on everything else are formed by social media, by music, by television, by pornography, and by modern-day feminism. That is what shapes the modern world of most boys. And by the way, some of them are growing up and to be men now. And the third thing I want to say by way of introduction is boys are unappreciated. Gender blurring fails to allow for differences between boys and girls. Developmental differences exist between boys and girls. IQ and EQ develop more slowly in boys, so they are always behind and assumed to be deficient. I have sat in my office with grown men, and some of them young men, and watched as they broke down. And literally, I can remember a young man a few years ago sitting in my office and literally just crying because he said, you know what? He goes, in school, I was always assumed to be stupid and always told that I was, you know, just not able to function like normal kids, and I had all these problems. And the ironic thing was, I'm sitting here talking to a man in his 20s who's married, who has a kid, who has a good job and is about to get a promotion. And I just looked at him and I said, so let me get this straight. I said, you've been told your whole life you're slow. And yet I go, you have a good job and you're about, a company brought you here, hired you, and is giving you a promotion and sending you out. I was like, that doesn't sound like a dumb guy to me. And he's like, you're right. And he said, but my whole life I've been told that, and you know what, by the way, just a little bit socially awkward. Hey, when we start, we were talking to someone before church about, self-assisted suicide and doctor-assisted suicide and all the things that are going on in our world today. When we start determining as a nation who matters and who doesn't matter, and we start saying, you know what, by the way, that's happening in other countries.
Amen.
I mean, it could come to America. You know, when we start saying all those people are old, we just need to get rid of all the old people and just kill all the old people off because they cost our country too much money. Folks, we're in a sad state in our world.
Amen.
And that happens all over the world, by the way. And you can make a good case that it happens in America already. It's just not legal yet. But you know what? Boys are unappreciated for the most part. People say stuff like this. Why can't you be more like the girls? Right? Because girls sit there and behave. Why can't you be more like your sister? Boys are told to slow down to let other people win. I want to say number four by way of introduction, boys are uninspired. Boys lose interest when there isn't anything at stake. You ever wonder why boys do dumb stuff? Come on, some of you men know what I'm talking about. There's stuff you did as a boy your mom still don't know about, all right? She's never going to find out. Why? Because every boy needs to go off somewhere in the woods and do something dumb that somebody else never knows about, except for the other friend or brother that you, you know, hold them down on the ground and hold your fist up and go, you better never tell mom. All right? Did I ever do that? Absolutely. I said something the other day and my mom was like, I never heard that story. I'm like, yes, there's a reason for that. All right? So, you know, but boys lose interest when there isn't anything at stake. Participation trophies and no-score games deprive boys of opportunities to be competitive and develop empathy by identifying with the loser. Nobody should like losing. Teaching your boys to win is a good thing. By the way, that's why boys like video games so much. And ever wonder why kids play video games all the time? Because it's the one place in society where they're allowed to be a winner. They're allowed to win. I played video games growing up to a degree. You know what? Boys are allowed to do it. They're allowed to conquer. They're allowed to win. They're allowed to level up. Whereas in the real world, Bill Tord, you just need to not be so good at everything. You need to step down. You need to tone it down. You need to keep it down. And in a place where society lets them be winners, that's where they run to. And people say stuff like this. Well, it doesn't matter who wins or loses as long as everybody has fun. That is the dumbest statement I have ever heard. You know what's fun? Winning is fun, all right? I played Reese in pickleball the other day, and he beat me. Now, I had a great time because I learned how to lose, and I think there's part of that. But, you know what? Hey, I wanted to beat him. I didn't want to sit there and let him win. It wasn't fun. I didn't know you'd be here this morning, but it's good. I'm going to call you out, all right, Reese? All right? I'm a little bitter. We need a rematch, all right? But you know what? I didn't go through the whole game going, oh, you know what? I'm just having so much fun. I don't care who wins. No! I want to win the stinking thing, all right? That's fun. That's enjoyable. Nobody looks at... No, by the way, you didn't watch a football game yesterday and go, I don't really care if my favorite team wins or loses. Because you know what? What we're teaching little boys nowadays doesn't actually translate into real life, okay? Are we all with me? I hope that I... And you say, Preacher, this. Why are you talking to us about this? Well, I think there's some things here we can look at that'll help us. And I don't really think... obviously, there are problems with boys, because boys have problems. By the way, they're the same problems you had when you were a kid, all right? Amen. And you know what? A lot of these apply to girls as well. The Bible principle. But let me share a few things with you that I think I the Lord put on my heart. What every boy needs. Number one, he needs a father, not a father figure. By the way, I don't think they ever grow out of that, man. Did you notice in Deuteronomy when we look at verse number 9, it says, but teach them to thy sons and to who else? Thy sons' sons. Who's that? That's your grandchildren. So just because you don't have little boys in your house doesn't mean you outgrow the need to invest and to love and to help and to guide your children and your children's children. You know, a lot of us will get that. You'll get that opportunity at Thanksgiving. You'll get that opportunity around Christmas time, maybe, to have a grandchild come. And you know what? Listen, you say, well, Preacher, they're not mine to raise. I understand that. But the opportunities that you have to invest in them and help them, you absolutely ought to take advantage of. Amen. Boys need a father, not a father figure. They need a present dad who is married to his mom and who invests in him. By the way, they need to be taught that masculinity isn't toxic. Our world teaches that today. Masculinity isn't toxic. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, what we just read, a father had a responsibility. And we read through it. I'm going to point out a few things because this isn't my entire message. A father had a responsibility. And by the way, I don't find where that responsibility fades. Number one, a father had a responsibility to not add to or diminish God's word. Look at verse number 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So, listen, I have a responsibility as a dad to not add to the Word of God for my kids or take away from it. That happens sometimes when people go to church and they hear the preacher preach and it's the Word of God, not his opinion, and it's clearly taught. And then for me, can you imagine, well, let's say I wasn't the pastor, right? It'd be a little weird if I was the pastor, but let's say I go home from church today and at lunchtime I'm talking to my boys and I say, you know, some of the things the preacher said today, I don't know, they were kind of weird, and we don't do that stuff at our house. What did I just do? I just diminished the Word of God in their eyes. Or as one preacher used to say, don't go home and have roast preacher for supper after church, all right? You know what? Because folks have to say, listen, I'm not perfect, and I give you my opinion sometimes, and when I do, I'm going to tell you, and you can take that or leave that. But if it's the Word of God and God said it, then it's something we ought not add to or diminish. We ought to emphasize and we ought to promote the Word of God to our children and to our grandchildren. We ought to promote the Word of God. Amen. Our world needs people like that. Our world needs fathers like that. Our world needs mothers like that and grandmas like that. That'll teach their children the Word of God. But not just that. Look at verse number 6. Keep therefore and do them. Well, how in the world, how in the world can I as a dad teach my children the Word of God if I don't keep the Word of God myself? Yeah. So as a dad, I have a responsibility to keep the Word of God, to obey the Word of God. You know what? As a grandparent, you have a response as an aunt, as an uncle, as whatever relationship you have with the young people in your life. You have a responsibility not just to tell them it's important. You have a responsibility to show them that it's important.
Amen.
By doing it yourself. Because you can't teach somebody to do something that you yourself don't do. It won't last. I'm sure you've made this statement, or I'm sure you've heard this statement. Don't do as I do, do as I say. But you know what? That does not work when it comes to transferring truth to the next generation. My kids will look at me and they will eventually see if what dad's life does if it matches what he preaches in the pulpit, by the way. And it'll also apply to you. Obey the Word of God yourself. By the way, there's a warning in here. Look at verse number 7. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as in all this law which are set before you this day? And Moses is reminding the children of Israel, hey, listen, y'all got a good thing going, okay? I don't know Moses from the south. He might not have said y'all, but I added that in there. But you know, Moses said, hey, y'all got a good thing going. What nation is there that has God so close to them and God's Word so close to them? Nobody. Hey, you know what? In our world today, what nation is there that has been so blessed by God as America? There isn't a nation, listen, there isn't a nation in our world today that has been so blessed by God as America's been blessed. And by the way, the reason that America's been blessed by God and the reason that we had an abundant Thanksgiving and most of us had food and then some to spare is because this nation was built on these principles and the work ethic of our country was built on these principles. And hey, you know what happened to Israel? They ruined it. And I fear that's what's happening in America. We're just throwing it away.
Amen.
We're just throwing away literally the greatest country on the face of this earth because people are abandoning the book that America was built upon. There's a warning there. Father has a responsibility. By the way, a nation is only as great as the people who keep God's laws. Keep that in mind. Verse number 9. But here's the responsibility is to teach the Word to their sons and to their grandsons. Hey, Dad, you have a responsibility to teach your children. I'm the preacher, and I love to help, and I'll help any way I can. It's not my job to teach everybody's kids about God.
Amen.
It's my job to help. You know what? We live in a world where parents want schools to turn their children out. Hey, a school can help, but a school is not going to turn your children out.
Amen.
It's a parent's job to teach their children, not just reading, writing, and arithmetic. Although those are good things, it's a parent's job to teach their children how to be a good person, how to be a model citizen, how to work. And you know what? A lot of how they learn that is by looking at your example. By the way, grandma and grandpa, your grandkids, you say, oh, they don't listen to me. Yeah, they may not listen to you, but they sure do watch you.
Amen.
They watch how you treat your wife. They watch how you treat your husband. This is family month, all right?
Yeah.
They watch how you do those. They watch how you interact with each other. They watch at Thanksgiving when you. Hey, listen, I will tell you this. They do notice if you're sweet on each other or not. They do notice that. It'll help model. It'll help model it for them. It'll help be a good example for them. Hey, we ought to be a godly example. We ought to be a good example of what a marriage should be and what a family should be and what a Christian should be. And we ought to live those things not just on Sunday morning at 11:40, but we ought to live them on Thursday afternoon at Thanksgiving dinner. You know, we ought to do those things. Now, and this is interesting, okay? We're coming up on Christmas time. I want you to take your Bible with me and go to Malachi. Malachi. chapter 4. It's the very last book of the Old Testament. And I want to show you something that you may already know, but if you don't already know, you'll know it now. Malachi chapter 4. It's talking about the day of the Lord. It's talking about the second coming of Christ. But there has to be something that happens before Christ comes again, the second and final time. And that's before we go to heaven. And Malachi chapter 4, to live forever. Malachi chapter 4, verse number 5 and 6. Behold, this is the very last two verses of the Old Testament. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he, look what he does. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And then, for 400 years, after these words are given by God through the prophet Malachi, for 400 years there is silence. And then there's a man, and his name's Zacharias, and he's got a wife named Elizabeth, and he's a holy man, and he's a just man, and he's a devout man, and one day an angel appears to him and tells him he's going to have a son, and he doesn't believe it, and he doesn't... So the angel says, well, you're not going to speak until he's born, his name's going to be John. And so the people are saying, Zacharias, what's going on, buddy? Happy Thanksgiving! What? He has a son. And they say, what are we going to call him? Are you going to name him after your one of your kinfolks? And he says, no. He writes, his name is John.
Amen.
God opened his mouth. And there comes a man who is John the Baptist. And the Bible says about John the Baptist, he came in the spirit of Elijah. Now, he was not Elijah. Because Elijah, the spirit of Elijah will be a present again in the second coming of Christ. Right? This is the first coming of Christ. And so this is all in my brain, so I'm trying to articulate it clearly to you. So hopefully it gets out. If it doesn't, ask me questions after church, and I'll be able to explain myself. Sometimes I feel like I do a worse job explaining myself than I actually do. So anyway, but here's what had to happen. Before the second coming of Christ, the final day of the Lord, Elijah will come and he will turn the heart of the father to the children and the children to the father, and he will make ready for the second coming. But you know what John the Baptist did in the same sense? When he came the first time, we talk about Christmas when Jesus was born. John the Baptist came to earth as the forerunner of Jesus. And in Luke, it tells us that he came and preached and connected and turned the heart of the Father to the children and the heart of the children to the Father. Now, why is that so important? The purpose of the coming of Elijah is to work restoration between generations to make them spiritually fit to receive the Messiah, and then someday to receive Jesus Christ as King. Families are ruined by the loss of parental authority, because authority is the framework within which the right relationships between parents and children are developed. The devil is busy spiritually robbing us of our children. It is because our view has changed of them that the devil succeeds. That is why first the hearts of the fathers have to be restored to the children. The heart of the children will be restored to their fathers. And I think there's a biblical principle for that that we can apply to all of us today as well. Not just talking about Jesus' birth or Jesus' second coming. If my son does not respect my authority, how in the world is he supposed to yield to the authority of Jesus Christ? How in the world is that going to happen? Because if he doesn't respect authority now, how in the world is he going to, when God confronts him, maybe in a church service, maybe in his room, maybe as a teenage boy, maybe as a young man, how in the world is a child going to submit to holy God if he doesn't submit to the God-given authorities that he already has?
Amen.
And folks, do you realize how important that is? Do you realize in our world, and you've noticed it no doubt, there is just a lack of respect.
Amen.
Not among all young people, because there are young people that are very polite and respectful. You know, and I was yesterday in Ruler, and I'm going through Ruler, and there's a young man walking through Ruler. He's got purple hair. He's got, you know, tattoos all over him. And he sees this older lady, and he stops. And he has the most pleasant, enjoyable conversation I've observed in a long time out of a young guy.
with this older lady, and he's just talking to her. He probably knew her, and they're just talking, and he's you know what? And I watched him, and I said, he's the most respectful young man I've seen in a long time. But you know what, folks? Listen, how in the world? One of the prerequisites for Jesus coming was to send John the Baptist in the spirit of Elijah and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to turn the heart of the Father to the children, the heart of the children to the Father. How in the world are we going to submit to God when our relationships and our families aren't right? That's not going to happen. Something to think about. Number two, I want to say, children need a father, not a father figure. Number two, I want to say, a boy needs a discipline, not drugs. I'm going to read you some Bible verses. I'm going to read you some verses. Proverbs 19:18 says this, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 29:17 says this, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And I could say a whole lot of other things about medication for children, but instead I'm going to read you two headlines from the Wall Street Journal last week. Founder of an ADHD startup program is found guilty of a conspiracy in an Adderall case. She's going to go to jail, by the way, for millions of dollars worth of conspiracy, because her organization and a doctor that she hired were just medicating children because they were getting paid by the company that medicates them. Here's another one. And by the way, this isn't from a preacher. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Millions of kids are on ADHD pills. For many, it's the start of a drug cascade that'll last for the rest of their life. In 2004, some people in this room weren't even born in 2004. I was 10, okay? In 2004... the Children's Hospital in Seattle found that more television a child watches between the ages of 1 and 3, the greater their likelihood of developing attention problems by the age of 7. More specifically, the risk of concentration difficulties increases by 10% for each extra hour per day of TV time. Hey, and those aren't even studies by preachers. You know how we're going to solve the crisis? How about parents get back to parenting, all right?
Amen.
How about that's a good thing. And you know what? I say, preacher, I don't got any kids at home. That doesn't apply to me. Well, you know what? I think we can all be a help to people, can't we?
Yes.
How many of you, just be honest, when you were a kid, you got spanked? Did you die? Now, look, I'm not talking about abuse. Abuse is wrong. Abuse is always wrong. Jesus said, if you offend a little one, it'd be better a millstone were hanging around your neck and he was cast into the sea. And I'll gladly take the millstone, and I'll throw the guy into the sea, and I'll go home, and I'll sleep at night, okay?
Amen.
All right? I mean that. There's some horrific things that happen in our world that never should happen to a child. Amen. And I've had to deal with those situations. That's not what I'm talking about. But in a good biblical context, little boys are like canoes. They go straighter and farther when they're paddled from the rear.
Amen.
All right? The boy needs discipline, not drugs. Number three, a boy needs a mama, not a maid. Hey, ladies, I know you're your baby boy, but don't baby your boys.
Amen.
By the way, even as adults, don't baby them. You know what? Look, I'm a 31-year-old man trying to help an older generation who doesn't need my advice. But you know what? Sometimes, listen, I watch people that are my parents' age still paying for everything for their adult children. You are not helping them.
Amen.
You are not helping them by every time they get in trouble, you bailing them out. Because they need to build that character themselves. We're watching a rise in people in their 30s still living at home with mom and dad. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong in all circumstances. Once again, I'm not throwing a blanket out, okay? But you know what? At the same time, we're watching a world where people my age joke about having to adult today. Like, oh, I had to adult today. What? You mean you had to go work? Okay, that's a good thing. It's healthy even, all right? It's good for you. You know what? It's a good thing. They need a mom and not a maid. By the way, you know what a little boy needs? He needs a mom that'll point him to his dad.
Amen.
Even if he doesn't have a godly dad, teach him to respect his dad and learn the good qualities that he has. Little boys need a mama that doesn't do everything for him. By the way, I think all kids need age-appropriate chores.
They don't need an allowance or reward for obedience. I don't care if you give them money. Give them money. If you give them a Christmas present, give them a Christmas present. But kids don't need a reward just for being good. Just for obeying. You know, when I was in Lima, Ohio, the public school system there paid children in the school to be good. They did. And I asked the kids in my youth group how that worked. They said, well, every week at school, we get money. Monopoly money. It's like funny money. And he goes, if we're bad, they take away some of our money. But at the end of the week, whatever money we have left, we get to go down to a little store in the school, kind of like you would in an arcade. And you get to take the money, and you get to buy something if you obey your teacher at school. And I just sat there, you know, with my face just open like this, because what are we teaching them? What are we teaching kids? That you do right to get reward. You do right because it's right, whether you get a reward or not.
Amen.
That's why my generation's such a mess, by the way. You say, preacher, this is a kind of an interesting couple days after Thanksgiving message. I know, I understand. Number four. Boys need action, not apathy. Luke 2:52 says this about Jesus. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You see, Jesus at a young age, he learned to trade. We've got some books out there in the foyer I encourage you to pick up. One of them is called The Childhood Years of Jesus Christ. It's a very good book. A lot of good things in there for parents. It might make a great gift for somebody. You say, preacher, I don't got kids at home. Might make a good side gift for somebody if they'll read it. There's a book out there on biblical masculinity. Both just good, solid stuff. Hey, you know what? Boys need a childhood. Boys need to play.
Amen.
Boys need to play outdoors. People need to go outdoors. That's one of our problems with society. People don't go outdoors anymore. Now, some of it's because you can't trust people anymore. Right? I mean, come on. I'm a parent. Look, I'm a parent raising 5 kids in this world. And you know what? A lot of times, I got to keep an eye out because there's a bunch of weirdos out in the world. I understand that. But you know what? We were a healthier and better America when people went outside and played outdoors and did stuff. And by the way, use this thing in your brain called an imagination, which needs to develop. And it'll help you. He needs to be allowed to win, and he needs to learn how to lose, by the way. He does need that. I'm not saying you can't ever lose. Good night. I've lost more times than I've won. You know what? I'll play Reese 10 more times in pickleball, and if he beats me 10 more times in pickleball, great. You want to know why? Because I'll get better every time I lose. And eventually I'll beat him, and when I do, he's never going to hear the end of it, all right? But you know what? Folks, at the same time, he needs to do things that'll challenge him. Little boys aren't challenged. Little girls aren't challenged. They're not. You know what? It's said that children generally become what you believe of them. Hey, if a kid wakes up every day and you tell him he's nothing and will never accomplish anything, he'll probably prove you right. Mom and dads, grandmas and grandpas, why don't you inspire your kids?
Amen.
By the way, not with worldly junk, but you can be whatever you want to be. No, you can't. You can't be a criminal if you want to be a criminal. You can't be a bum if you want to be a bum. You know what I mean?
Right.
Hey, you know what? I hear people say that, well, you can be whatever you want to be, sweetheart. Well, you know what? That's why people grow up and do nothing, because they don't know what to do. You know what I tell my kids? You can be whatever God wants you to be.
There you go.
Because you know what? I want them to keep following that. God doesn't want every one of my kids to be a preacher, but he wants them to do something. He wants some of them to be maybe an electrician or a plumber. He wants them to accomplish something in life. Number 5, and we're done. Little boys, what's the problem? What do they need? They need church, not counselors. Never as a replacement for mom and dad, but certainly as a compliment. Hey, I'm on a mission, and I can't be good at everything. But at this church, as long as I'm pastor, we're going to major on men being men and on boys being boys and learning how to become men.
Amen.
That's a good thing. I'm not apologizing for manhood, but teaching biblical manhood in a society that for too long has told men that they are the problem with society. Hey, you know what? The Bible is better than pop psychology.
Amen.
Solomon knows a lot more than Dr. Spock. The Old Testament knows a lot more than Oprah. And Paul the Apostle knows a lot more than Parenting Magazine. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul told Timothy, "In the things which thou hast learned among me,
the same teachest thou to faithful men shall be able to teach others also. That's a biblical principle. Titus chapter 2 also goes over that principle. Older men in the church teaching younger men in the church. Older women in the church teaching younger women in the church. And parents raising their children. That's always been God's plan, and that always will be God's plan. And you know what? For those of you who say, "Preacher, well, I just don't have a kid in my house that I'm raising." Hey, you have kids. Every single one of you know kids that you have an opportunity to invest in and to help. Amen. And to lead and to point to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, one of the greatest things my dad ever gave me was the opportunity to learn from good men. One of the greatest things my dad ever gave me was to set me under preachers like Dr. Jeff Fugit and Dennis Quarle and a whole bunch more that I could list. But you know, one of the best things my dad ever gave me was he allowed good men to help me. He allowed William Davis to help me when I was a teenager. He allowed a construction worker named Sean Hamm to come pick me up on Saturday mornings and take me and my brother around and invest in us and help us. He allowed Dave Smith to help me. He allowed Rich Carr to help me as my basketball coach and just help me with some character building things that helped me with life. He allowed Johnny Watts and James Chinhara to invest in my life, and I could go through so many more men. And one of the greatest things my dad ever did for me was allow other good men to influence my life, because they all gave me something that I needed. But by the way, one of the greatest things that I've ever been given is a dad who not only went to church on Sunday morning and listened to the preacher, but I got to watch him live it out, not perfectly, but I got to watch him live it out his whole life.
Amen.
Hey, you know what? This is kind of a Thanksgiving message for me too as well, because I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that example. Some of you never had that example. Some of you can be that for someone else. Some of you were never given that opportunity. I think everybody ought to respect their dad and honor their dad, whether they're godly or not. But you know what? I think we ought to help. You know, one of the things I've decided as a pastor, we're going to try to do something to help. Next year, we're going to start a program at our church called Virtuous Boyhood. It's just going to be once a month. It's going to just have boys come, and we're going to teach them things that are practical life skills, Bible skills. We'll have fun. Have a good time. And here's the motto that I wrote for that, and I'm going to end with this. I'm a young man. I will honor God and my parents. I will grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. With all of my strength, I will use the ability God has given me to make the world a better place. Hey, folks, listen. We have an opportunity. You can either choose to invest in the young men that you know, or you can choose to just buy them stuff and tell them hi. Hey, buy them presents. That's good. But don't replace your presence and your investment with gifts.
Amen.
Somebody wisely said, we are too busy giving our children everything that we did not have, and we're not giving them the things that we do have.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, we need to be investing in them. Listen, by the way, they're the future of America.
Amen.
They're the future of our churches.
Yeah.